Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Mary is a rising star at a big city clickbait website. So what's she doing in a small town in December? She's chasing a story about the true meaning of Christmas, if it still exists. The village she's in is like a simulacrum of a long-gone era where people dress in red and green and everyone says gosh and golly. A young man dresses like an elf and a kindly old woman is there to help anyone who asks. And after a run-in with Chris, the local coffee shop owner, it looks like true love. But not everything is as it seems. Dirty words start creeping into the town's vocabulary, and that kindly old lady is actually a white supremacist? Worst of all, Chris's cocoa shop faces eviction on Christmas Eve, unless he can come up with the rent. Can Mary save the day, or will a cup of cheer turn to spilt tea? Cup of Cheer is a Christmas comedy that uses social satire to poke fun of our notions of the holidays and small-town life. It takes clichés and twists them around till they're almost unrecognizable and uses sketch comedy-style humor to keep it rolling. Cup of Cheer is the work of Toronto-based award-winning TV and film writer-director Jake Horowitz. Jake's work has premiered at festivals worldwide. His features have reached number one at the Canadian box office and are available on Amazon, Prime, Crave, and Super Channel. Cup of Tea is now streaming on CBC Gem after an opening splash at the Revue Cinema in Toronto. And I'm very pleased to have the filmmaker himself here in Toronto via Zoom to tell us more about Cup of Cheer. Hi, Jake.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. So, Jake, absolutely. Cup of Cheer is a satirical comedy that pokes fun at the cliches we see each year around Christmas. The movie's also a rom-com, another genre laden with predictable plots. Why did you choose, what attracted you to making a Christmas rom-com?
I think there's something cultural lately over the last 5 or so years, I would say, where, there's so much media, there's so much competition, and yet the thing that always rises to the top, specifically around this time of year, are those Hallmark and Lifetime cheesy Christmas movies. And I think it's like, I think culturally we have all decided the world is a terrible place. Let's just pretend for an hour and a half that these nice, charming towns exist where everything is perfect and the true meaning of Christmas can always be revealed. And that was a very funny starting place for me as a movie of like, well, let's take those wholesome movies and make the most unwholesome movie you can make with those ingredients.
Much of your film derives its humor by exposing the weirdness and sentimental movies you're making fun of for ironic effect. Would you say Cup of Cheer is the ugly Christmas sweater of holiday comedies?
I hope so. Ugly Christmas sweaters have had this renaissance of late where people can wear them ironically or unironically. To embrace, some meaning of what it means to embrace the holidays and to have a good time and nostalgia. And I tried to weave all of those things into Cup of Cheer as well. And yeah, there is something like an ugly Christmas sweater about it. You know, it is something that people are kind of discovering year after year. You can wear it, or to follow the analogy, you can watch it again and again. You'll always discover new things with it. There's just so many jokes in there that you would have a new experience watching it each time.
Mary's the narrator of the film, and she's a big city career woman, but as soon as she arrives, her cell phone and laptop both break down almost immediately, and she's forced to turn to earlier technologies and live in this sort of time warp of a place. So what's it like for Mary in this strange, old-fashioned type of place?
It's like every other Christmas movie where, at least the classics where those things don't exist. And I think it's nice for her and for the movie to be able to get away with, you know, not having those modern crutches and things that we all rely on. Because again, you know, if Christmas is this big nostalgic thing, then there's something wholesome and nice about the idea of typing on a typewriter. And if you have to talk to someone, you have to go and drive there and go to the store and talk to them. That's also just how a lot of these Christmas movies work. You know, it's nice having the same people in the same room and not having everything be solved with a simple phone call or email.
Canadian humorist Stephen Leacock wrote his famous Sunshine Sketches of a Little Town about a fictional Mariposa, which is actually Orillia, Ontario, where you shot your film. So I wonder, you have a master's in creative writing. Am I detecting a bit of CanCon references here?
Yeah, absolutely. And funny enough, we filmed on the Stephen Leacock estate in Orillia. The big final scene of the movie takes place at the Leacock House, which is a National Historic Site of Canada. And I have come back to that location actually a few times. My latest TV show is called Sunshine City, in an actual more apparent nod to Stephen Leacock. And it is a show that is set specifically in Orillia. So yeah, I love that all those references to, you know, to all these Canadianisms that people wouldn't understand outside of Canada. So there are so many little references to those things and filming locations you can see and things that make it very Canadian. But the movie has traveled, you know, it's internationally, it's played in the UK, it's streaming in the US, and nobody catches on to that. They take it for granted, you know. Snowy Town must be somewhere in the American Midwest or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of Canadianisms in there.
Small town seems perfect at the beginning, but gradually you expose some of its less attractive aspects. One of them is this seemingly kindly older woman named, well, the strange name, Miss Clovenwitch. Talk about that character.
Yeah, that came out of the study of when we were writing this movie was watching a lot of these cheesy Christmas movies, and there was always seemingly an old lady busybody around town who baked cookies and ran some kind of diner and helped everybody fall in love. So that was where that came from. And yeah, as we wrote this character and delved further into who she was, she just became this crazy amalgam of so many various tropes, as well as so many horrible things that if you dig a little deeper, we were like, well, what is she hiding if she's so wholesome? Is she maybe racist? Is she maybe all these other things? So I think that came out of just exploring that funny character, played really, really amazingly, beautifully by Helly Chester, and just selling it all the time, no matter what the line was.
Keith is Chris's younger brother, who at first, in his cute little elf costume, appears to be the alter ego of Flash, the mall elf. But we later discover he's actually Flash the Mall Elf. He's a stripper.
Yes. And did the name come before the character choice? No, actually, he was always going to be a stripper. And then we came up with a funny pun on a name. And yeah, again, that just came from digging deeper into who is this character? Who's this cheery best friend slash brother character who doesn't really have a story of his own, but is always kind of pushing his brother and this girl into falling in love? This was a character we again saw a lot of in all of these movies. And my instinct as a writer is always, well, let's actually explore the lives of these side characters. And so that was one of those things where, you know, we see his job. He's working two jobs. One of them happens to be at a strip club because he wants to really support the business that he inherited from his grandmother, the hot cocoa shop. So he strips to make ends meet.
There's also something, well, very Dickensian about the story. Is that why there's a like a red-coated Englishman from centuries past who suddenly appears in the town?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just another trope. There always seems to be somebody time traveling or somebody confused as to how they got there. And I think that was such a fun thing to play with, where this kind of B story can pop in and out, and then you forget about him for a few scenes, and then he comes back, and then he comes in to help everybody at the end, and all of these things kind of tie together in a really fun way that subverts all the tropes that you've come to know.
The two of the most overt references, one was, well, Christmas Carol, so there's Scrooge-type characters. Another one is the Dr. Seuss. And did I hear someone call someone a Grunch, but not a Grinch?
Yes, yeah.
Why?
A dirty little Grunch. I thought it was funny. I think it was... it might have been scripted originally in earlier drafts as Grinch. And then there was part of a discussion of, A, is Grinch a copyrighted term? B, would the Dr. Seuss estate like the fact that we're using the term in a strip club scene? And C, the word Grunch is inherently funny. So all of those things tied together.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Then there are the villains. The villain who's turns out to be Mary's ex-boyfriend. And he has a sidekick. They look a bit little like Lenny and Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. Talk about the duo villains.
Yeah, so there's always the big city slicker ex-boyfriend who wants to do something evil. And, you know, that was this character kind of, he's the only character that I think exists in a totally separate movie. He's not aware that he's in this movie with all these other people. He's off starring in some crazy thriller, psychological thriller movie. And then his henchman, you know, is there to do his bidding and to do everything for him, and is actually played by an amazing actor and musician, Braden Barry, who also did the score for the entire film, which is like an hour and a half of original score plus original Christmas songs. So super, super talented in terms of just, you know, even that henchman character.
And finally, like in any good rom-com, you have the two, the boy and the girl, the woman and the man, who meet in, they sort of crash into each other in embarrassing circumstances and hate each other to begin with, but gradually fall in love. So if you could talk about Chris, Miss, and Mary.
Yes, Mary Nice Lady is her full name.
Mary Nice Lady, yes.
And, yeah, those are, you know, in a lot of ways, they start out as your stock romantic comedy or Christmas movie leading characters. And then, of course, they all have their own quirks, and they all kind of delve into this insanity as the movie unfolds. Even right down to the meet cute is usually, and the most typical thing is like, hey, I accidentally wasn't looking where I was going. I bumped and spilled my hot chocolate or my coffee onto you. To the point where even as I'm saying the trope, I'm like, people can't really do this anymore. People can't surely make this into a movie anymore. But I just saw it the other day, again and again. It's always the trope. So here, when they meet, they bump into each other, except instead of spilling a little cup of hot chocolate on her, Chris spills a giant, giant vat of steaming hot cocoa on Mary and completely drenches her. And I think that sets up a lot of their relationship and just the... to the extreme that we're taking everything in this movie. You know, nothing is taken seriously, and it is all just way, way over the top, very silly and stupid in a really fun way.
Finally, why do you think we need a cup of cheer right around now?
That's a great question. I think that they, like I said before, and maybe I'm cynical, but the world kind of sucks in a lot of ways. And especially this time of year, it is, you know, a time when we should try to, oh my God, I sound like I'm summing up a lesson at the end of a Christmas movie. It is a time for friends and family and cheer and being nice to each other. And I think something in that is really important and has always been a tradition for me is just, you know, watching Christmas movies and the tradition and nostalgia of sitting down and watching something that takes your mind off of things for an hour and a half. And Cup of Cheer does that with an hour and a half of jokes. Like, there is a joke every 10 seconds. There is something for everybody. And I think it is really important to just not take everything so seriously and to be able to, you know, tune out for a little bit of your day just to laugh, to sit with some people that you like and share some silly, stupid laughs at something that's really, really funny.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for all the questions.
Writer, director, producer Jake Horowitz's comedy Christmas film, Cup of Cheer, is on now, streaming on CBC Gem. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.